out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 15th of May, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at Radio Arium. And of course, as it's Tuesday, I am joined today by Nat Danelaw. Nat, how are you doing today?
Hello?
Hello,
it's me, Nat Danelaw. I am now live on radioarian.com.
You certainly are. As we like to do this live, as it includes all the mistakes, and I think that's what people are hoping for when they listen to us live. Really, they're hoping to see us forget what we're meaning to be talking about, which I do quite often, actually. Hopefully, I won't do that today. Yeah, go on.
They want to see all the funny bloopers and goofs. That's what they want to see and hear.
They do. And if you do listen to it live, you will get some of that because I do edit them out if we do make mistakes. Hopefully we won't make any today, but I think we've got a really good topic for today anyway. Trump brings peace to the Middle East. I'm sure everyone's been watching these 70th anniversary celebrations taking place in Israel yesterday. So far, 58 dead Palestinians, 2,400 injured, no Jews have been harmed during the festivities. And
have you noticed actually, one? That's not entirely true. There was actually one Israeli casualty, maybe two actually, from what I have come to understand. Palestinian protesters actually did manage to knock down a Israeli military observation drone.
They did, wow. Well, that's still an inanimate object, isn't it? It's not actually any Jews that were actually harmed. And these are unarmed protesters, or so we're told. But they're not really unarmed. They've got rocks that they're throwing. But they're all actually on their side of the border as well. They're being shot at and being gassed while they're actually on their own side of the border. And this really does actually produce a quandary for me, because I look at this and I think this is exactly the way we should be defending our borders. Yeah, when anybody tries to come into Europe, we should be sinking the boats, we should be shooting them, we should be gassing them. When anybody tries to come into America from Mexico, they should be doing the same. And yet at the same time, you think, well, this is so mean to the Palestinians, because it is actually their land in the first place. And then you think, yes, but every country in the world had to be fought for in order for the people to be living there now. For you to be able to say it's your country, you have to fight and your ancestors have to lay down their lives and the land needs to be soaked in the blood of your ancestors. Then you can say it's your own. And the Jews have fought for the land of Israel, but they haven't really given any of their lives so far. It's just the other side that have given their lives. So it does actually produce lots of conflicting thoughts in my head, Nat. What about you?
I mean, here, the thing is about the Jews is that they have not actually fought. I mean, let's bring up the phenomenon of struggle for a nation. Let's just talk about total war. When you are in total war, every part of your society goes into a state of complete and utter total war. Now, the Jews have never actually been in that, even in the Six-Day War, or how long it even was, Six-Day War against, you know, pretty much all of Arabia. I mean, they crushed them, but from what I've come to understand, they were 100% backed up by the Western powers. There was an incident. What was the name of that Israeli terror attack against that military base in Palestine was owned by the Brits. What was that called?
Oh, the St. David's Hotel. I think there was a hotel, wasn't it? St. David's?
Yeah, it was. Lots of British in 1948, it was the Zionists that attacked a military. It was actually military. Yeah, the King David Hotel bombing. That was it. Sorry, I just did a bit of Googling. I forgot to write it down. So the King David Hotel bombing, where several British people actually got killed, and it was actually a military installation, a British administrative headquarters for Palestine that they decided to bomb. 91 British people assumably died, and 46 assumably also died in 1946. So, of course, the Jews, you know, sit pretty much on the top of the entirety of the, you know, there's plenty of literature about the Israeli lobby in America and about how a majority of all American foreign policies are 100% determined by Israeli and Jewish interests. So, yeah, the Jews are not really, if you have to think about it, they have not really fought for their own country, but you could say that they have indeed subverted everyone around them and sold out their own daughters as Hadassah whores for Israel. So, you know, they have made sacrifice, but not in any way that would might have harmed the body, for so to speak.
Yeah, they sacrificed other people, haven't they? They sacrificed the USS Liberty. They sacrificed the British soldiers at the King David Hotel. There are other incidents where they set traps and they hanged British soldiers and then booby-trapped the bodies so that when people came to rescue them, they got killed as well. And none of this is remembered. The fact that there were these terrorist Israeli gangs, the Stern Gang was one of them, and the Ergun. And then their first prime ministers were members of these terrorist gangs that had killed hundreds of British servicemen. And the British servicemen were the ones that went over to Palestine after the war and built the place up and brought it to first world status. And the British were over there as the police. It was a crown dependency. And the British were supposed to police the place so that there wasn't fights between the Jews and the Arabs. And that was the way that the Jews repaid us. They repaid us by massacring us. And this just isn't remembered. And yet these war criminals still come into Britain. So the land is drenched in blood, but it's not drenched in the blood of any of these Jews. And I think, you know, when you're saying there that they get other countries to work as puppets for them. I mean, that really could not be any clearer than yesterday with Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner celebrating with Benjamin Netanyahu in this big conference room where they're praising Trump and talking about 70 years of Israel. And, you know, this is a moment in history. And outside, it's just clouds of toxic black smoke and flames and screaming and shouting and Allah Akbaring and all these weapons going off and people dying here, there and everywhere. And they're inside popping champagne corks and talking about how wonderful it is. And Donald Trump is blessing the place. And they're saying what a great hero Donald Trump is for the Jews. I mean, we knew he was a Zionist. We knew that he was pro-Israel, but I don't think anybody thought they would go so far as to do something like this, which the rest of the world is, you know, the rest of the world is pro-Jewish, but they have all actually condemned Donald Trump for acknowledging Jerusalem as the capital of Jewland. That's the thing. The rest of the world have gone against him. That's, you know, he is an ultra Zionist. But then part of me says, is he doing this just because he wants to irritate the Muslims? Because, you know, he's not happy with Muslims. He's not happy with the terrorism. And this has really, really pissed the Muslims off, hasn't it? All over.
Yeah, but here one must be careful. Here one must be careful when trying to understand the reasoning behind Donald Trump's policies. I remember early on when he started to bomb Syria, et cetera, and there were lots of talk about, oh, these are just some sessions he has to make to get his points across and et cetera, and how it's all a giant game of 4D chess. But sometimes when a move looks very simple and it's not very helpful and it might actually lead to you losing the chess game, Sometimes it's not a grand sacrifice. Sometimes it's not a part of a grand strategy. Sometimes it's just because of incompetency or deliberate actions to try and lose the game. Donald Trump, as of right now, is nothing more but a Zionist puppet. He has been that since the very beginning. Now, he might say some things that make us go, ha-ha! And I remember when the elections were going on, I remember some people raised eyebrows and said, well, Donald Trump is not the end goal, right, guys? I mean, we're white nationalists. Donald Trump is not the end goal. And people got angry and they said, no, he's the Führer. Donald Trump is the Führer. He's the God Emperor. He's the meme magic man. He's going to make America great again with memes. And here we are. You know, in 2018, Iran is getting bombed by Israel. The Jews are tightening the bolts on European resistance to Jewish monopoly. The Zionist occupied press is completely running wild with the narratives. The Jews are in solid power. Martin Schulz, previous minister of the European Parliament, has proclaimed, to me, Germany only exists for the purpose of securing Israel and the Jewish people's existence. Now, keep in mind, Germany is nothing more but a puppet state at this very moment. It's an occupied state by America. It's a vassal state in its pure sense of the word. So is all of the West as a whole. So, no, Donald Trump is not in control. He's an idiot. I'm going to have to say that. He's an idiot. And as things are going now, I will say in the past couple of days, I have sat and looked at the news with the raised eyebrows and concerned looks at what I was reading. It's quite something else to hear that missiles are being fired on Iranian forces in Syria. That's really something else.
Have you heard the reason for that? The reason that was given for that? Because the Iranian forces dared to defend themselves when Syrian planes went over there and bombed them. That was the reason given. That was the reason John Bolton gave why they had to pull out of the Iran deal, is because Iran fights back when Israel goes over there and bombs Syria. And unless people forget, Golan Heights is a contested area. It was a part of Syria. Israel claims that it's part of Israel now, so they just think it's fine to go there and bomb the place when you've got Iranian forces there. And Donald Trump does seem to be surrounding himself by people that are pro-Israel and just doing things to please Israel, nothing to please the American people or his base. You know, another things that is a bit, little bit confusing about this is that the alt-right and the civic nationalists, they see this and they see the way that the Palestinians are being treated, and they think, well, that's great. This is why we like Israel. Israel defends its borders. Why can't we defend our borders? And the bit they miss is that all the Jews in the other countries that aren't actually in Israel, they are the ones that are stopping us from defending our borders. They're the ones that are saying refugees welcome. We must allow in the third world. We must allow in everybody that wants to come into our country. We must allow them in. Otherwise, we're terrible, mean, horrible, hateful people. And it's the Jews that are responsible for doing that. And that's what the Civnats and the alt-light, that's what they don't get. They just do not seem to understand that. I mean, just recently, we've had Jez Turner given a year sentence yesterday for exposing Jewish power and saying that the Jews control everything. Well, they do control everything. They managed to put pressure on the Crown Prosecution Service to take this case on after they had previously said there was no case to answer for. So he proved that the Jews have power, this lobby group, and they've sent him to prison for a year. They're also taking Alison Chablow to court for singing funny songs about the war. They've already sent Joshua Bonehill to prison for 4 years for making funny memes about a Jewish MP. We've also got Lawrence Burns. He's in prison for exposing Jewish power. We've got lots of people that are in prison for this, and it's all been at the instigation of the Jews. And then we've got somebody called Count Dankula, who does have a voice. He does now have a voice in the media. He has a large following. People are listening to him, but he still can't draw the dots together and see that it's the Jews that are doing this. He thinks that it's the government that are doing this, and the government want to clamp down on free speech, and they just found this obscure Jewish pressure group to use. He thinks it's the other way around. And I think that that's the way a lot of these civic nationalists think. They just can't put two and two together. That it, the Jews clamp down on dissent in our countries and call for open borders, while in their own country, in Israel, they do what we would like to be doing. And we are banned from pointing that out because that's anti-Semitism, apparently.
Well, it's very anti-Semitic to notice how Israelis at this very moment is actually expanding into Syria. Yeah, it's very interesting to see. I'm not sure if you've ever seen any plans of how the ideas of greater Israel were supposed to look. But I can try and explain a bit about what greater Israel is going to cover. It's going to cover Cairo, Jordan, a significant part, well, a small part of Egypt, the entire north western part of Saudi Arabia, the Red Sea, north and western part, it's also going to be part of it. Half of Iraq, a majority of Syria, including Damascus, is also going to be included in it. And that is what they call the promised land. And from what I've seen, they're already making military, these expansion phases into Syria at this very moment. They really want to take that land. But, you know, at the meantime, while Zionist occupied governments are very, very preoccupied with nodding their heads, you know, approvingly. I'm really curious to see how, you know, 10 years into the future, how they're going to try and rationalize how they've taken Iraq and Jordan and northwestern Saudi Arabia. I'm really curious to hear how they're actually going to pull that one through and how they're going to make people say, yes, this is a clear act of self-defense and not a violent ethnic expansion of their homeland.
Well, people have made excuses already for pushing back the borders of Palestine. So they've just got this tiny little strip, the Gaza Strip, and you can see on a map the actual area the Palestinians get just gets smaller and smaller, and the area of the Jews just gets bigger and bigger, and they refuse to actually have any borders. They say we don't have definite borders because they just keep expanding outwards. And it is, you know, you're right there, Nat, when you say that's what they want. It stretches all the way from Syria to Egypt, and it basically goes back to the Old Testament and the empire of Solomon and David, which has nothing to do with today's Jews. Today's Jews are descended from Canaanites from about 200 BC. Then they're descended from Khazars in around about 1000 AD. And then they've mixed in with Europeans, Africans, Chinese, Japanese, and all sorts. They've got no ethnic claims to that land whatsoever. They've got no cultural claims to that land whatsoever. It's just a convenient excuse for them. And the stupid Zio-cuck, Evangelicuck preachers go along with that. And they think that these Jews are the chosen ones from the Old Testament. And they're not. They're the devils from the Old Testament. They are the devils. The Israelites were told to exterminate them all because it was known what would happen if they weren't all exterminated, the situation that we have today. And and back then, I dare say it was exactly the same back then. I dare say the Israelites said, oh no, you know, we can't just kill, these innocent people. We'll just put them to work instead. And that's what they did. Instead of exterminating them all, they said, oh yeah, you come and do our servant work. You come and do our slave work. And then they took over. The same as with the black slaves coming into America. And they were there doing all the work, and then they got freed because of humanitarian concerns, and now they're just a black plague on white America, has to pay for all their welfare. It's the same thing, you know, we have to keep ourselves separate. And that, again, that's another biblical injunction, is that nations need to be kept separate, and the borders between the nations, the ethnic borders, they were put there by God. If you cross over them, then, you know, your nation is going to fall. And you see it happen again and again with all these previous white empires that we had. I'm actually doing a series on that, which will air in a couple of weeks, on previous white empires and how they all fell apart due to miscegenation. But, you know, the Jews have always been involved in this as well. This group of mixed race peoples has always been involved in it. There's this diabolical gene that the Jews seem to have that they can pass on even when they're mongrelized. Sorry, Nat, you were going to say something.
No, well, you're absolutely correct. And the thing about the Jew is a very unique creature in a lot of ways. Even when they're amongst themselves, and I remember having read somewhere that even in Israel, Jews are highly dependent on hiring Gentiles, primarily white Gentiles, to fulfill administrative positions in corporations in Israel, due to the fact that Israelis, even if they're family related, etc., they always try and undercut each other. They always try and undermine each other's cooperation. They try and take more than the other. They try and undermine. They cheat. They lie. Even amongst themselves, keep in mind, the Jews have never been a nation of farmers or workers or carpenters. They've always been a nomadic race of mongrels who have always lived off the teat of the host nation. The thing about the Jew is that even if we say that all Gentiles perished in some weird, let's just say some weird Talmudic plague is spread across all of the earth, and every single Goyim dies out, what will then happen is the Jews will start to turn against one another. The Jews are incredibly neurotic. They are very, what do you call it? Let me have a sip of water here. The Jews are mentally ill. The Jews cannot love. The Jews cannot show compassion. The Jews cannot think in other people's interests. They simply do not have compassion. And therefore, even if we say all Goyim died, you know, the Jews would eradicate themselves due to the fact that the Jews are mentally broken and spiritually broken. We're talking about a people here that sees prostituting their daughters to gain benefits for the people as one of the highest goals to achieve for the female gender. They are the eternal race of mongrels. And wherever the Jew will set foot, mongrelization and destruction will follow. So, while when they still have Goyim around on the earth, they have something else to focus on. You know, they're very obsessed with how pure they are. They're very obsessed with anal hygiene for some reason. That's a very prominent topic in Talmudic writings, from what I've come to understand. So, you know, while the Goyim still draws breath, you know, they'll have something to focus all of their bitterness and resentment against. But once that is gone, you know, the Jews will thankfully die out. And that is something that I sometimes often warm myself to the thought of, that once the white man is gone, it's all going to be gone. There's going to be nothing left. Well, and I'm very comfortable with that idea, actually. I think that if we can't have Earth, nobody, and I say again, nobody should have Earth.
I think the Earth was created for us anyway, and I think these other races are there to distract us. They're from the evil one, to prevent us from carrying out our true path. I mean, if you look at it, they're just a drain on our resources. And the Jews are at the head of our opponents, and they use these other races against us. That's why they want to open our borders and flood our lands with them. If you just look at all the waste of money that's spent on Negroes, and all we ever get back from it is more Negroes. They just breed more of them. We used to have a space program, and now all the money goes on welfare to look after these people that aren't actually capable of contributing to us. They're like the shock troops of the Jews. But if there was nobody helping the Jews out, they wouldn't be able to keep a functioning state. They can't even keep Israel functioning. It needs to receive aid money from America. It needs to receive billions in weaponry and support for the army, because they're not actually capable of doing anything for themselves. This is why the other Jews in the white countries, they won't move to Israel, because what would they do if they were there? They'd have to parasite off of other Jews. And if they were to all to be parasiting off one another, there'd be nothing left. You know, they have to have a host. That's why they stay in white countries. This is the problem. The problem isn't that the Jews have their own ethnostate. I'm quite fine with the Jews having their own ethnostate. The problem is that Jews still expect to live in our nations and pull the wool over our eyes and pretend that they're British or French or American. And yet we can see that wherever they are in Gentile nations, they've taken them over, and they make that country serve Israel's bidding, and they make that country serve Jewish ideals and Jewish progressivism, and they direct the course that that country then takes, particularly with, in America, with Hollywood. I mean, and they even say this, they boast about this, how it's a new Jewish century, how the Jews are setting the course for America. They control American culture, and through that, they control culture throughout the rest of the world with Hollywood. And this is why a lot of people are very anti-American. But it's not really the Americans they're anti, it's Jewish Americans. You know, I used to really, really hate Americans. And then I realized it wasn't Americans, it was Jews. It was all these Jews on all the television. They were the ones that were saying these horrible things and setting this dreadful example to everybody else. It wasn't white Americans, it was Jews. And most people don't realize it. This is why they were forced to wear a yellow star, so that people could tell the difference between them, so that people could be on their guard when they saw the person with the yellow star.
Here's something I think most people should have a look into. Recently, I think it was in Canada, it showed that every third millennial did not know about the Holocaust. So recently, a documentary got released called What's with the Jews? It was a propaganda piece, split into like 8 parts, from what I remember. You can watch it on YouTube if the audience is interested, where it's pretty much about how Jews boast about all of their achievements in destruction and abstractivism of all of Western civilization, about how they boast about that the Jews' purpose is to alter man's nature. Their very end goal is the improvement, as they put it, of the species Homo sapiens, and they're very arrogant in this. But it really comes to show. I normally, when it comes to identifying Jews, I normally go out from the 25-second rule. If it takes me more than 25 seconds to identify a person racially, I normally go to the conclusion that it's probably a Jew. Now, there's a differentiation. Sometimes a person is just really fucking ugly. And in that case, you know, I have to say sorry if I ever have misidentified a person as a Jew just because he's ugly. But, you know, 95% of the cases that I have seen a Jew, it's a fucking Jew. You know, they always have like those kind of thick nigger lips. They have their disgusting noses. They have the eyes. Their weird, beady eyes. And again, like, the lips really gives it all away. I mean, if you ever seen German World War II propaganda posters of Jews, it's actually pretty accurate. It's surprisingly accurate. And if you notice the Jewish woman, they normally have like these long horse faces. They kind of look like droopy horses when you look at them. They look very, very unpleasant to look at. I wish somebody would remove them.
That's a very good description. Yeah, they are very, very similar to horses, and they'll always be whining about something, whining,
yeah, very neurotic,
and complaining about how things aren't good enough for the Jews. What you were referring to there about them trying to quote unquote improve everything, that's Tikkun Olam, is what they call it, and they see it as it's the Jews' mission to turn the world into a reflection of themselves. They think that they are the ultimate evolved creature is the Jew, and everybody else should follow their example, which is why they push gay marriage, why they push for abortions, why they push for miscegenation. All of these things that we can see are actually anti-nature, anti-creation, and anti-God. They push all of those things because it's in their nature, because they love all of that. And he loved all that degeneracy. E. Michael Jones, Professor E. Michael Jones talks about this a lot, how when Christ came to earth and the Jews rejected Christ, they were rejecting Logos. Christ is the Word. He's the Logos. He's the order and everything. So when they rejected Christ, I mean, I believe Christ rejected them, but the mainstream version is that the Jews rejected Christ. And when they rejected him, they rejected the order of the universe at the same time. So they are the agents of chaos. So when what they think of as improving things is actually destroying things. I mean, you can hear it now. You can hear Bibi Netanyahu talking about how, this is peace. They're bringing peace to the Palestinians. Yeah. And peace to the Palestinians is 58 dead and 2,400 injured. You know, that's him improving the Palestinians for them. And they really do believe what they are saying. Our task is to wake up our people, so our people stop believing what they're saying, because far too many of us fall for it. Nat, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Edmund Morrison. Praise God, hail victory, and pass the ammunition.